You believe that? Amen. Amen. Woo! It's a little different. But I have to believe that. So we are gathered here this morning. Pastor Sean had no idea until late last night what my message was going to be on, because I really didn't either. But that's kind of not true. See, earlier this week, Miss Reed and I were having a conversation about a certain game that will be played on September 4th. Now, one of those teams will be wearing red and black, and the other one will be wearing some kind of orange, I don't know. And I told Ms. Rita, I'm going to ask to preach on September 5th because it's college football season. And being a former coach, and maybe still a coach, I get excited. You ever heard the phrase, be careful what you ask for or pray for? Well, the Lord took care of that. It's just not September 5th. It's this morning. But you'll be relieved to know this message is not about college football. Because if that was the case, we'd be here all day. But college games are 60 minutes. I'm just giving you a heads up now. And in football, sometimes you have to call an audible, which is changing the play at the line of scrimmage. A recent Hall of Fame inductee, Peyton Manning, who my wife loves, and we got a new TV to watch Peyton play one year, so I'm thankful. He was famous for calling audibles with his words of, Omaha, Omaha. If you know Peyton, you know what I'm talking about. So our audible this morning is, we will not be in Ephesians. We will be in Psalms. Psalms 111. And that gets back to how I started this. Pastor Sean had no idea what this message was about. But as we go through this, please understand the songs that we have already sung and the song that we will sing at the end. So please open your Bible to Psalm 111. If you need a Bible, there should be one this color very near you. And we're going to read from this. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright. In the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hand are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Let us pray. Fathers, we have read your words and hear your words, have sung your words. Let our hearts our souls feel them. Let those words penetrate. As we continue to worship you today, let what we do, what we say, what we sing, not only in here today, and as Brother Wes reminded us, as we leave here today, glorify you. Because you are the only one who deserves it. For we ask it. Precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I am not going to sing Psalm 111, although it was written to be sung, as many of the Psalms were. Psalms, songs of praise. And we cannot study Psalm 111 without mentioning Psalm 112. They have actually been called twins. And were probably written together by the same person who, there's a lot out there about who actually wrote them. But they were both probably written after the Babylonian captivity. But today we are going to focus on 111. And we're going to celebrate, not college football, but God's works. We're going to ask and try to answer only two questions. The first question, why should we celebrate God's works? Why? Why are you here? See, that's a personal question, isn't it? I'm here up here because Pastor Kevin's at home. But I'm really here only because of God's grace and mercy. Please understand that. That is the only reason I'm standing here. Verse 2 tells us His works are great. We could stop right there, couldn't we? But we're not. Greater the works of the Lord studied by all who delight in Him. Think about creation. Man. Think about it. The stars, the moon, the sun. This planet we call Earth. Those other 7, 8, 9 planets, it depends on where Pluto is right now. The stars that you can't even count, right? Think about that. And as you are thinking about that, hear these words from Psalm 136. To Him alone does great forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. Did you get the pronouns in there? Once a teacher, always a teacher. He. Him. I didn't do it. He did it. Because He's the only one that could do it. He's the only one that can do it. And He's the only one that will do it. Great are His works. But do not miss that phrase that's repeated. His steadfast love endures. There's a word, isn't it? Endures for how long? Forever, yeah. Y'all know how long forever is? Start counting. Let me know when you get there. And then David's words. In 1 Chronicles 16, as the ark was placed in the tent, Remember the words, wondrous works, that He has done. There's that pronoun again. Remember the wondrous works that He has done. And then these words that Pastor Kevin shared weeks ago from Ephesians in 2:10. Oh. For we, it's you and I, right? We are His workmanship. His. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should all walk in them. Brother West mentioned our bodies, mentioned all that's going on now. I can't comprehend that. And when you get right down to it, you can't either. But the Creator of the universe created me. Think on that. He created you. And He knew He was going to do that. Workmanship. Again, as Pastor Kevin reminded us, work of art. You, today, on August 15th, 2021, sitting in Charleston Baptist Church, regardless of what's going on in your life, you are a work of art because of the Creator. So we should celebrate that, right? His works are great. His works are also majestic. Verse 3 from our passage. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. That's a great word, isn't it? And we use great too much. I do. Splendor. Majestic. I had the opportunity to be away with my wife a few weeks ago. And every morning, to get up, sit on the porch where we were at, and see the mountains. Had that little haze on it, you know. And that's why they're called the Blue Ridge Mountains. That is majestic. Or some of you may have been at the beach yesterday. Or earlier. The waves rolling in. Regardless of how many people are there. The sand. That is majestic. And Romans 1:20 reminds us, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have clearly been perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. His majesty, His works, tell us who God is. Let us celebrate Him. John Phillips puts it this way. The ministers of His court are a flame of fire, bright spirits, sinless sons of light. The full circle of the rainbow shimmers around His throne in brightest emerald hues. A sea of glass as clear as crystal is a glittering carpet on which He is approached. When He stooped to pitch His tent with Israel in the wilderness, He sat enthroned on a seat of purest gold between overshadowing cherubim. The walls of His pavilion were the richest scarlet, blue, and purple. The inner sanctum was ablaze with glory of another world. Let us celebrate that. The greatness of His works. The majesty of His works. the faithfulness and justness of His works. What was the second song we sang this morning? Don't miss that now. He didn't know. He didn't know when the Lord gave him the songs weeks ago. What was happening today? Verse 7 in our passage. The works of His hands are faithful and just. All His precepts are trustworthy. Whether you want to define precepts as commands, statutes, covenants. Think of the covenants God made with His people. Who broke them? Who breaks them today? Not God. God does not break His promises. I've been reminded of that more than ever over this past year. Ooh. A year ago, I was part of a funeral service, and it was an honor to do it for a gentleman. And in conversations preparing for that, his wife kept saying, the promises of God. And ever since then, hopefully that's been right here. The promises of God are true. His covenants are true. His statutes are true. His precepts are true. If they're not, we might as well go watch college football right now. God is faithful and trustworthy because that is all He can be. That's all He ever was. That's all He ever is. And that's all He will ever be because He is God. And then maybe, the best reason to celebrate God's works is because they are redemptive. Verse 5. He provides food for those that fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever. Food's a great word, isn't it? Come on now, some of y'all hadn't had breakfast. As soon as you leave here, you're going to eat. Okay? I'm going to say the same thing at 11. Let's look back. What did He give the people in the wilderness when they asked for something? He gave them manna. Now granted, they got greedy like we do. Because He told them it was daily, right? He provides us food today. But we're not going to focus on the physical food. We're going to focus on the spiritual food. He's given us His Word, hasn't He? We read it. We have it. Whether it's in a Bible or on your phone in a Bible or in a song or in a message. He wants to redeem us. Verse 9. Touches on this also. He sent redemption to His people. Oh my goodness. Let that soak in. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Did God bring those stiff-necked people out of Egypt? Yeah. Did He bring them into the promised land? Yeah. We could go on and on, right? But time's not going to allow that. That's what He did. But today, He's done something greater for every person who believes in his heart and confessed with his mouth that Jesus Christ died and came out of that grave. That's redemption, people. God did that. If you are a believer, you have been delivered or redeemed from the bondage of sin. I don't know who wrote it, Pastor Sean, but I know it says this. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Where would you, where would I be without the blood of Jesus? Let's go back to verse 3 in the phrase majestic. Hebrews 1:3 says this, talking about Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power after making purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Where would we be without Jesus? And this brings us to the second question. What I'd like to call, stealing this from Pastor Kevin, the application question. And again, what Brother Wes said, we can hear it. But what are we going to do with it? So how should we celebrate God's works? We should remember. Verse 4 in 1 Samuel 7:12 puts it like this. I'm going to give a little credit to my son Zach for this verse. With a little discussion we had at the supper table last night. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shenand, called its name Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. Our question. What are our Ebenezers? What are our stones of remembrance? In our passage today, the psalmist may be referring to the Passover, the permanent memorial of God's majesty and splendor displayed in redemption from Egyptian bondage. For believers today, we remember our redemption from bondage by celebrating the Lord's Supper. Our redemption from bondage. We remember it every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Why did God do this? Verse 4 in our passage tells us this. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Grace, that free gift we do not deserve. Mercy, the act of not giving us what we do deserve. So we should remember. We should remember daily. The battle is daily. And the second point. We should celebrate. We should worship Him from our heart. Verse 1 in our passage. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright in the congregation. The phrase praise the Lord can be translated hallelujah. How are we to do it? With our whole heart. Our whole heart. Psalms 4 calls the heart the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. The heart, the center of human spirit, from which emotions, thought, motivations, courage, and action spring from. How's your heart this morning? How's my heart this morning? Guard it. Guard it. The third application. We should fear Him. A reverent fear. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have a good understanding. Charles Spurgeon says this. Practical godliness is the test of wisdom. Men may know and be very orthodox. They may talk and be very eloquent. They may speculate and be very profound. But the best proof of their intelligence must be found in their actually doing the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord. As Pastor Jason reminded us last week, just last week, in Ephesians 5:1. The will of the Lord. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So how do we apply it? We remember. We worship. And we fear. We imitate the one who set us free from bondage if we are a believer. Every day. Because the battle is daily. This message this morning has been mostly for believers. But what if you're not? What if you hadn't put your faith? What if you don't know what that means? Well, today is the day. If you'd like to know more, I'll be down front in just a minute. Or you're welcome to walk out these doors right here. Find the lighthouse. Because you need the light. Somebody will be glad to talk with you about the one who can set you free from bondage. And for all the believers sitting in here this morning, let us remember, let us worship, and let us fear with our whole heart. As the worship team comes to lead us in our response time, I'll be down front. The altar will be open. Stay in your seat. But the request, the command, if you are a believer, is listen to the Holy Spirit. Be obedient with your response to the Lord for His name's sake. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this time. And Father, you know what is on every person's heart in here. Let them be obedient, Lord. Let me be obedient in what we do. And again, let it be for your glory and your name's sake. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.